Hey guys, I'm Ashley and I'm the daughter.
I'm Liz and I'm the mom.
And this is The Lesser Known.
Today, I'm going to be going over the paranormal side of Mammoth Cave. So if you want to learn more about the history and facts about Mammoth Cave, and it seems like I'm kind of glossing it over, it's because Ashley just did it last week, so maybe go check out her episode first and catch up on history, and then come back and listen to the paranormal stuff. So today I'll be talking about one of the most haunted locations in the United States.
Oh,
it's full of Native American legends and ghosts of miners, cave explorers, criminals, and tuberculosis patients.
Wow.
But before we do, let's do our question of the day and shout out to the 5 Instagram followers.
Okay.
Ashley, if you could eat one meal for an entire year, what would it be?
It would probably be pizza because you can put like anything on it. So there's like breakfast pizza.
Mm.
There's like, yeah, if I'm feeling like not eating meat that day, there's vegetarian pizza. There's thin crust, thick crust, deep dish.
It's all kinds of
calzone. I know.
It's genius.
Yeah.
They're I all didn't pizza. Think about that.
Yeah, yeah. So you can switch it up.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be fun.
That's a good plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking when I think pizza, I only think of like pepperoni pizza. So when you said pizza, I'm like, okay, that's going to get old like real quick. But yeah, you're right. You have like different meals of pizza.
Gluten-free crust.
Tons of stuff.
Cauliflower crust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Good one.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay.
Mine is sushi.
Mm-hmm.
I love sushi and it's like, it feels healthy. It's like, no matter when I eat it, like, it's like, I feel healthy that day. I feel like if I ate it for a year, and it's got protein because it's got fish and I don't like any of the cooked type of sushi, but I like either raw or with the rice under it or sashimi.
Yeah.
So.
See, I'm the opposite because I get a craving for sushi like once every 3 months or something. And then I eat it and I don't feel good.
For real?
Yes. Like, I feel very stuffed and bloated and, like, I don't want to eat this for a long time.
Yeah, it is true. And that's the other thing, which is weird because sushi being, like, just, like, raw fish, it fills me up a lot. Like, every time I eat it, it'll be, like, 5 pieces and I'm, like, this isn't going to be enough. And I'm, like, I'm so full after I eat it.
And oh, weird.
I feel great. I love it.
Well, that's good.
It's the best. So let's just get right into our 5 Instagram followers for this week. The first one is Wild Warrior. Then we have Mandy's Wine Bar.
Oh. Yeah.
Do you know?
I do.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so she is actually met her dog sitting.
Mm.
She's super sweet, and she is opening a wine bar in Maricopa, Arizona.
Oh, awesome.
I know. Yeah.
We have Abby from Forward to Adventure, Squatch Stuff, which they sell merch about Sasquatches.
Oh, cool.
And Clear Mind Survival. So those are my 5. Yeah. So thank you guys so much for following. The first place I want to talk about are the Moaning Caverns. Before people started visiting the cave for fun, it sometimes made a spooky moaning. I gotta get this thing in front of me. Okay. I can't read sideways. I need to be like, not that that would have changed the moaning, but. Okay.
Sure. Okay, so we took a quick break because apparently 2 episodes is way too much for us, and we were just having a laugh attack.
Yeah.
So so now we're back, and we're going to jump into it.
All right. The first place I'm going to talk about are the Moaning Caverns. Before people started visiting the cave for fun, it sometimes made a spooky moaning noise that could be heard above ground. The Miwok Indians who live nearby had a story about this eerie sound. They believed it was caused by a big stone giant named Yayali. Maybe Yayali?
Yayali? That sounds good.
Does that sound right?
Yeah, like that.
Who lived in the cave. According to their legend, Yayali would trick people into coming into the cave and then harm them. So they actually aren't quite sure when the moaning noises have stopped because they have pretty much stopped now. And they said it could be changes in the environment, like how the cave's airflow and water flow.
Mm-hmm.
They put like a staircase in there, or it's just natural things happening over time. But like now the caves aren't the moaning caves anymore.
Oh, well, that sucks. I would have liked to hear that.
Too. Yeah.
And I wonder what made that noise.
Well, they think it's kind of like, you know how you take a Coke bottle and you blow into it? I guess there were like holes and stuff in the cave. And so when the wind would go through it, it would like make that noise.
That makes sense.
Ready? Mm-hmm. During an archaeological dig, bodies were discovered at the bottom of the cave. And these were the remains of some of the oldest discovered in North America.
Oh. The oldest people discovered in North
America? Yeah, the oldest remains discovered in North America.
Oh.
They were found under a thick layer of mineral deposits, and they're around 12,000 years old. Wow. Which is crazy, because you figured that long ago. I wonder if like they had like different facial features than we have now.
Did it say?
I don't know.
Oh.
That's what I'm wondering, though. Yeah. Like, you know, if it's 12,000 years ago, I wonder if that's like when...
Right.
Like they look different from us. So that'd be interesting to find out.
Mm-hmm.
There were also some more recent bodies found, and there was around 100 bodies total.
Oh.
All are thought to have died from falling accidents because the cave has a 140-foot drop.
Mm-hmm.
And you figure it was dark. You know what I mean? So you walk into a cave and then you just fall down this huge 140-foot drop. So I'm surprised there's not more than 100 bodies down there, really.
Well, that makes sense because it has, like, levels. And if you didn't know, the cave system levels. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, now they have safety features in place. But, you know, like at that time, it was just like walking into a dark cave and then just, like, dropping to your death, which
crazy.
Yeah. Glad they fixed that.
Yeah.
So there are stories of Native Americans from that area, and the Native American tribes inhabited the area around Mammoth Cave for thousands of years before the European settlements.
Mm-hmm.
There's evidence that they lived in the cave thousands of years ago, but abruptly ended and no one knows why.
Mm.
So it's like there were artifacts there and then nothing in the cave, like no remnants of anything again until 1797. And they said it looked like they were like running from something.
Oh.
Because it was like, it looks like there was just like, they set up shop in there. They were like living and everything and then vanished and then nothing for centuries. They aren't really sure why, but they said that maybe they went too deep into the caves and possibly encountered some evil spirits from within the earth.
Yeah.
So they did end up burying their dead in the caves. And so they think that maybe if that is what they found, like this, the evil spirits, and they thought it was like a portal. Maybe that's why they bury their dead in there. So it was like their dead were closer to the portal to the afterlife.
Okay.
So that's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
And there aren't any really specific Native American spirit hauntings in the cave, or none that are documented, but they say that there's an area called the Haunted Chambers, and a lot of strange things have happened there, and it seems almost like angry ghosts. And they think that maybe it's the Native Americans that were moved and they're just like not happy about it. And I guess they said the lights go out, they push people, and they will appear in the background of pictures.
Oh, you know, I have heard like that miners were like superstitious about that happening. So they ended up moving bodies back. Was that these people too?
Oh, that could be.
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that. That's probably it.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure that's it.
Yeah. Because they were saying like, that they were just getting really bad vibes and like stuff was happening and they're like, I think they went on strike or something and they were like, we need to put the bodies back because they were just being haunted.
I feel like that must be it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's really cool. I'll see if I can find some pictures. Cause I would imagine if people are saying they're appearing in pictures in the background, like there must be something.
Yeah.
So
that'd be cool.
I'll look for that. So the next ghosts I'm going to go over are the miners and the Civil War ghosts.
Hmm.
And so during the Civil War, Mammoth Cave served as a source of the saltpeter, like you were talking about in your episode. And it was obviously for making gunpowder. And the mining in the 1800s was brutal. I mean, I'm sure you've seen like all that stuff. Every time there's like cave-ins and everything. And the tunnels were supported by wooden beams, but obviously could collapse at any time.
Yeah.
And mining in general is just like not a safe job. Certainly not like anything I'd want to do. I guess the cave was also used as a hospital for the wounded soldiers.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And after the war, the saltpeter mines became an attraction for Victorian travelers. Some visitors have claimed to have encountered spirits of soldiers from both sides of the conflict lingering in the cave chambers. Author Troy Taylor recounted an eerie tale from his research from his book, Down in the Darkness. And it was based on an interview with Mammoth Cave National Park Ranger over a decade and a half ago.
Oh.
During a routine tour through the cave, the ranger paused to point out a particular passage to her group. While waiting for them to catch up, she glanced back to ensure that all were accounted for. To her astonishment, she spotted a man trailing far behind the group. He was wearing attire reminiscent of miner's clothes, which was a denim pants, suspenders, and a striped hat.
Mm-hmm.
And despite her efforts to keep an eye on him, the mysterious figure vanished without a trace as the tour continued, leaving behind an unsettling aura of the unknown.
That's creepy.
Yeah, gross.
Yeah.
It's like shivers.
That would be a good book to read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to hear the full story.
I know. I always wish that, like, whenever I read this stuff, like, hearing about all these people doing these books and, like, I wish I could, like, read all of them before I do these, but... Like, it would be impossible to read three books between episodes. The next ghost I'm going to talk about is Stephen Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
And like you talked about, Dr. John Cronin purchased the cave in 1839. And it feels gross to even say, but among the property of the purchase, he received several slaves, including a cave guide named Stephen Bishop. The National Park Service website described Bishop as one of the greatest explorers Mammoth Cave has ever known. And Ashley goes into that a little bit more, so I'm not going to go into him as much. Just, he wasn't, like, an expert when it came to the caves, and he, like, really took pride in his profession. In 1856, less than a year after gaining his freedom, Stephen Bishop died of an unknown cause. He was only 37 years old.
Wow.
Which is really young.
Yeah.
I wonder if it had anything to do with, like, being down in the caves with... Because wasn't he down there with the tuberculosis patients, too?
No. It seems like maybe it overlapped a little bit. I guess it overlapped a little bit.
Along with several other slave guides, he was buried in the Old Guide Cemetery, which is not far from the caves. Today, some of the park rangers suspect that Mr. Bishop and the other slave guides are returning to the cave from time to time to check up on things and make sure that the rangers are doing a good job.
I would like to think that, because it seemed like, from what I've read, he really liked it. Like, he was doing it since he was 17, and it was almost, like, easier labor than what most at that time were.
And he became a respected expert.
Yeah.
Like, people really respected him. So.
Yeah, they, like, looked up to him. Right.
This is a story from a ranger. Park rangers give park visitors an idea of what it's like to visit the cave before there were flashlights or any electricity. The rangers call this part of their program a blackout.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. During a blackout, one ranger turns off all the electric lights while another ranger speaks to the tour group by the light of an oil lantern. Many park guides report having strange experiences during these blackouts. Rangers have been shoved playfully by an unseen force. They've heard footsteps and turn to see no one there, and they've been grabbed or touched in the darkness when there was no other people nearby. So it sounds that's like creepy. Playful, but like, yeah. I'd rather not be grabbed or touched. So like,
yeah. I think we also forgot to mention that like, now the cave system has electricity. So when they shut off the lights, they're like actually shutting off the electricity and then using like old lanterns as if like it was back then.
Right.
Yeah.
During one blackout, a guy noticed an African-American family standing behind the rest of the group. The ranger noted that the father wore a white Panama hat was very interested in what the ranger had to say. The ranger turned out all of the lights for the blackout, and when he turned on the electric lights again, he looked for the family, but he couldn't find them anywhere. They said the room where the ranger saw the mysterious family is called the Methodist Church because miners once held religious services there. And during those days, if an African-American guide and his family attended those services, it was customary for them to stand in the back, a distance away from the whites in the group.
Oh.
So they think that...
Oh, it's is it Bishop?
That's what I'm thinking.
And his family?
Yeah. Maybe. Oh. Yeah. On another occasion, two park guides... were taking a group through Chief City Room when a woman said, "Who's up there among the rocks?" The guide looked where the woman was pointing and saw a man holding a lantern atop a formation called Sacrifice Rock. The man wore a long sleeve shirt and an old droopy style hat that was like the ones worn by the slave guides.
And though the man could be seen from three different angles, the park rangers agree that the image must have been created by a series of shadows. But I don't know.
I don't know either. I believe that people saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like multiple people saw it. So.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go into the tuberculosis ghost. Tuberculosis was also called consumption, referring to the wasting effects of the disease. It's associated with rapid weight loss, pale skin, and a fever leading to a gaunt and spectral appearance.
Oh, that's why, like, in my episode when I said that they came out looking like skeletons.
Yes.
That's what they meant.
Correct. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
Ashley talked about this in last week's episode, but briefly, Dr. Krogan created an experimental colony in the Mammoth Cave for tuberculosis patients. There were around 11 cabins where sick individuals lived while getting treatment. Mm-hmm. During this time, while the patients were living in the cave colony, there were still cave tours.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
So tourists spoke of eerie sights of pale and spectral figures in dressing gowns moving weakly along the passageways, slipping in and out of the shadowed huts.
Oh, I do remember hearing that they were dressed in gowns and walking around. Oh.
The silence of the cave was broken by hollow coughing and muttered conversations.
Oh.
So can you even imagine?
No.
Like, I'm going to go on a regular tour of Mammoth Caves, and then you just see all these, like, sickly people going in and out of these huts and, like, just trying to live their life down there. And
I would think that was a ghost right there.
Me too.
And then I wouldn't even want to go there because that was a super contagious disease.
But I don't think they knew it at the time.
Ugh.
Yeah. Well, the entire medical experiment was a failure, and the patients that didn't die just kept getting sicker. Mm-hmm. Today, the remains of Dr. Krogan's consumptive cabins can be seen while touring the cave. In front of one of the cabins is a slab of stone upon which the bodies of the dead tuberculosis patients were placed before they were moved from the cabins. Mm-hmm. It was called Corpse Rock.
Oh, yeah, I've heard
that. Yeah, that's still there, too. So you can see that.
Cool.
So as far as the ghosts, some say if you listen long enough, you can hear coughing in the section of the cave and an eerie feeling of being watched.
Yeah.
I know. I'm, like, a little surprised you're not seeing, like, shadows of ghost figures going in and out of the hut still.
Yeah.
To me, that would be, like...
Right.
But I didn't see anything about that. The next ghost story I'm going to go over is the Gray Fox, which is a cowboy.
Oh.
In Mammoth Caves, there's been multiple sightings of the ghost of a cowboy nicknamed the Gray Fox.
Hmm.
Legend has it that he was a cowboy who roamed the hills and forests surrounding Mammoth Caves in the late 19th century. He was known for his rugged appearance, wearing worn denim and a weather-beaten hat. They say that there's a ghostly figure his ghostly figure is said to wander around, popping up and appearing unexpectedly to visitors.
Oh.
So he's one of the jump scare ghosts.
Yeah.
You know?
He just pops out. Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, ugh, I'd rather not that one. His spirit is said to manifest as a shadowy figure moving silently through the passages of the cave.
Hmm.
This one's more like a tuberculosis patient.
Mm-hmm.
Witnesses describe feeling a chill in the air and a sense of unease before encountering him.
Ooh.
So I've noticed that a lot. Like, people feel uneasy before seeing a ghost.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know.
And like a chill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you ever get that. I feel like we kind of got that yesterday.
Yeah, and Jerome.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
So I got this story from, there's a podcast called, I think it's like Two Girls, One Ghost or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't find this story anywhere else because I heard it on their podcast and I tried to find, like, the origin of it, but I couldn't find it. But it was, like, a really good story, so I did want to give them credit for this.
Ooh.
Yeah. One woman was rappelling down a cave as part of an excursion, and she saw this guy in 1800s clothing, and she was staring at him like, who's this guy?
Yeah.
And he must have felt her looking at him because he looked up and made eye contact with her and then disappeared. Oh.
Ew.
Yeah. She's like, oh my God. And obviously couldn't get that image out of her head, like,
right,
forever. Cause, you know, it's like scarred her for life.
And 8 years later, she was at an antique shop and she came across a picture of the exact man she saw that day. And she asked the store owner who he was. Mm-hmm. And the store owner told her his name was, he had a nickname of Gray Fox, but he was also known as Bill Miner. And he was a well-known criminal in the area in the 1800s.
That is so strange. 8 years later, and she's still, yes. like, recognized.
Yes, because can wow. you imagine how, like, traumatizing that would be if you, like, made eye contact?
I'm sure, but that's just crazy. Like, and then to just find that out of nowhere, like, wait a second, I've seen this person.
Right. Well, that's what it kind of feels like. It was, like, almost to, like, let her know who it was.
That gave me, like, full body chills.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to go over that story, because it's like, and I tried so hard to find it, but I couldn't. I don't know where they got that story, but
I don't know.
So good. In Ashley's episode, we mentioned there was an incident that led to more safety features in the national parks, or in Mammoth Caves, and making it, like, shutting off areas so just not anyone could just go roaming around in the caves. And this, we think that this is one of the events that facilitated that. Floyd Collins was an experienced spelunker, and for any of you who don't know us, who what a spelunker is, it's someone who makes a hobby out of exploring caves.
Hmm.
In 1917, he discovered Crystal Cave under his family's farm, and over time, he developed it into a tourist attraction. There were rival caves at the time competing for tourists, and it was known as the Cave Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, today that would, like, be a reality show, I'm sure.
Yeah.
One of the rival caves at the time was Sand Cave. Floyd had an agreement with the owner of Sand Cave that he would explore it and then share the profits if they found any. Floyd entered the cave with only one lantern. He was alone and really not prepared, as prepared as he should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And the cave was so narrow that in some parts he had to crawl in on his stomach.
Oh.
Yeah. Absolutely not. I mean, yeah. They said it was, like, so, like, he crawled on his stomach, and in order to get forward, he had to put, like, one arm forward and, like, army crawl. Ugh.
Mm-mm. That'd be terrible.
No. That is, like, right up there with my fear of, like, deep, dark water.
Yeah.
Is being, like, having to crawl through.
Just, like, claustrophobia.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. Well, he accidentally knocked over his lamp and dislodged a rock, which pinned his leg while he was in that tight tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, there were no cell phones or communication, so no one really even realized he was missing for a day. So, like, can you imagine being trapped under the ground?
No.
No lights, no communication, in a tunnel so tight that you had to crawl on your stomach?
That's so scary.
So scary. Like, it
and
makes
it was
me,
probably haunted at that time still.
Maybe. I don't think he really noticed that, because he's just like, that was like his fun thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, like, set to haunt this one, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just makes me feel, like, sick even thinking about, like, being trapped in that situation. When people finally discovered he was missing, they started rescue efforts. And I guess it had, like, a ton of media attention.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they were able to reach him with a tiny tunnel. And a small reporter went down into the tunnel a few times and interviewed him. Which, that's, like, I don't know.
I know. Why aren't you trying to help?
Exactly. Instead of, I mean, they were still trying to dig down there, but
I know, but still, like, if someone else can go down there and they're tiny, like, wouldn't you have a bunch of tiny people come down there and push the rock off or something?
Well, yeah, I guess, I mean, they couldn't even get to his leg. They got to his face. After a few days, the tunnel collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they couldn't even get to that area. Another rescue shaft was started, but they didn't reach him for 17 days.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they reached him, he was dead, and Sand Cave was sealed with Floyd's body inside. Months later, his body was removed, and he was buried in the grounds of Crystal Cave. I couldn't quite understand why they sealed it off and then came back for him.
I don't know.
I don't, like,
maybe so no one would, like, take him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take his remains or what he had, or
yeah, I just, like, don't know why they just didn't, like, get right at it and, like, start digging him out. I don't know. It just, like, didn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But his remains were buried in Crystal Cave grounds, and then 2 years later, the cave was sold. The new owners decided to exhume Floyd's body, fix it up, so they reconstructed his face, they put a glass top coffin, and displayed him in the cave as a tourist attraction.
That's so bad.
Like, how is it even legal?
I know. Like, we couldn't do that to just anyone here.
I wouldn't
think
so.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he didn't have family, so he, like, no one had say.
He did.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah. So I guess crowds of visitors came through looking in the coffin, obviously. And he was considered the greatest cave explorer ever known. Like, that was, like, the plaque above his body. He remained in the cave, and so his family gave him a proper burial in 1989. But they said that his family actually had to fight to get his body back.
How?
I don't know. I'm wondering if because when they bought the grounds, he was on the grounds, and they owned him after that?
I don't know.
I don't know. It didn't make any sense to me. But
yeah.
Yeah, it's really creepy. So the ghosts in the caves, so this is sand and crystal caves. Mm-hmm. So obviously Floyd Collins is still hanging out there because that was like his favorite thing to do and his favorite place to be. His ghost has been heard calling for help, and objects have been known to be thrown from an unknown source.
Oh.
Visitors to the cave have reported strange noises, unexplained shadows, and an eerie feeling of being watched.
Seems like that happens a lot.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Some claim to have seen the ghostly figure of Floyd himself forever wandering the dark caves.
Hmm.
One woman was caving. She tripped. I think that's what's called caving.
Mm-hmm.
She was, okay.
Yeah.
So one woman was caving. She tripped and started to fall. She felt someone grab her and pull her back up.
Oh.
She was about to thank her caving partner when she noticed he was all the way on the other side.
Oh.
Yeah. So she realized it must have been the ghost of Floyd catching her. So she said, thanks, Floyd.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, that's respectful.
Yeah.
Even though Floyd had a bad ending and he died doing something he loved, at least he's like still, like, you know, helping people. He doesn't seem like a bad ghost.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, and I feel like if you die doing something you love, it's like better than if you didn't live.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, live your life the way you wanted.
Yeah, that's true. I just wonder if, like, the thing about him being, like, in the glass coffin, I wonder if he, like, if his ghost was wandering around, if he was, like, mad about that, though.
No, I don't know.
The last ghost I'm going to go over is Melissa's ghost.
Mm.
Melissa was a young woman who fell in love with her tutor, but he didn't love her back.
Oh.
Out of revenge, she led him into the cave and abandoned him without a lamp.
Oh.
Which, this seems kind of funny to me because it's like, couldn't you have just followed her out?
Yeah.
Like, was she really fast or maybe it was a curvy?
I don't know because I think I heard a similar story, but I didn't think of, I didn't think she died. Because I heard a similar story where, like, it was either a couple or whatever, but she, like, led him into the cave and was like, oh, what's that? And then, like, yeah, left him. Because she knew the way, like, she knew the tunnels and he didn't.
This is probably the same story.
Oh, okay.
This sounds just like it. Okay. So he was never seen again. So sometime later, Melissa is said to have contracted conception, which we know is now tuberculosis, and she wrote a confession letter. For 15 long years, I have carried a dark secret buried in my heart until it is worn away at my life. But now that I'm tottering on the brink of the grave, I'm impelled to make this confession. Which, as tardy as it is, I hope may render some tranquility to my last sad hours. I'm going to re-enter that dark cave, the threshold of which I have not crossed for years, and there I will patiently await the coming of that death, which I hope will be my blessed release. The gloom and horror to which, years ago, I doomed my victim shall be around me when I die, for I think that perhaps from amid the silent rocks which witnessed my crime, my last prayer for forgiveness will find acceptance.
Yeah, it is the same story. But I, like, briefly went over it, and I didn't know she haunted it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess she went back and died there. So, yeah, it's creepy.
Yeah.
So they say that there are ghosts, like, the ghosts there are people hear whispers, weeping, a woman calling out as if she's calling for someone. I guess someone's heard her say, like, where's my love?
Oh.
But it's like, ah.
She did it.
Right. I know. I know.
I don't feel bad.
I don't feel that bad either.
Yeah, because she
was kind of, yeah.
Yeah. She was being selfish.
I do have a story from a tourist, which was pretty interesting. So they said, I loved Mammoth Cave since I was a kid and try to visit every few years. I had a curious experience my last visit about a year ago. I was on the tour with my sister, and we were standing near the giant's coffin. A guide announced that he was going to turn off the lights for a moment. I looked around and chatted nervously and made contact with an older gentleman on my right. He nodded politely, and I smiled and nodded back. The lights went off, and the guide told us a story of one of the people who survived being lost in the cave. He turned the lights back on, and the gentleman was gone. Ooh. Something felt odd, so I began looking for him. He was nowhere to be found. I made my way through the pack, but I could not find him anywhere. We were a group of about 20 walking together for another 2 hours, and that man was never with us again.
Weird.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of a cool one.
Yeah. I like the touristy and park ranger stories.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
They're super interesting.
I agree. I like when they, give like actual accounts of it, mm-hmm. not just the general, we heard moaning from the cave or something. Yeah. Those are always my favorite too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy.
It's super creepy.
Yeah, I figured there was going to be a lot of stuff in Mammoth because during my research, mm-hmm. I like had trouble not finding that stuff.
And honestly, there's a ton more, but there's just no way I can cover like every mm-hmm. ghost story in this. But
yeah,
there's just so much stuff there. So I do get why they call it like the mm-hmm. most haunted national park.
Yeah.
And maybe we can even revisit it at some point.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to buy a spirit box and go in
there.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Was
yeah.
that it?
Yeah, that was it. Okay. That's my episode.
Yeah, that was good. Scary. Creepy. It gave me chills.
Oh, full body chills?
Full body chills. Just that one. I forgot what it was even, but mm-hmm. it creeped me out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Okay, bye.